Welcome to the Automotive Diagnostic Podcast. We're going to explore ways to sharpen our diagnostic skills, find learning resources, and hear from experts in the automotive field. This episode is brought to you by AutoRescueTools.com and Isaac Rodell. If you are looking to get into module programming, but you are not sure what kind of laptop you're going to need or how to set it up for programming, Isaac is your guy. He can set up laptops specifically to do control module programming for specific brands with partitioned hard drives and all the software that you're going to need to do this. He also sells key cutting equipment, scan tools, and other diagnostic equipment. I bought some stuff from him in the past, and the support is phenomenal. So I highly recommend checking out the website. Again, that's AutoRescueTools.com. The link will be in the show notes. Hey, what's going on, automotive world? Welcome to another episode of the Automotive Diagnostic Podcast, or maybe it's the Automotive Parasitic Draw Diagnostic Podcast. My name is Sean Tipping. Thank you so much for joining me. I got another parasitic draw diagnostic for you. I know that seems to be all I've been doing lately. I did recently teach a class on it, so I guess that's pretty fitting there. But in all honesty, you know, what I try to bring to the show is, number one, things that challenge me, but also interesting and relevant case studies. And that all seems to come from what I'm doing out in the field, right? I bring you along with me doing the mobile diag thing and what we're getting calls on, what are beating up shops and maybe sometimes beating us up a little bit. And that's exactly what this is. This was a challenging one. It was tedious to get to the source of it. But I want to share, you know, what I went through. We'll kind of briefly overview some of my process and mindset. Although if you listen the last couple of weeks, I've, you know, dumped that on you already. So I won't go through all of the details step by step of my regular parasitic draw process, but you can probably find those in other episodes. This car, we'll get more into details of the specific car. And again, my mindset as I'm going through the problem, what I'm thinking, where I think this is going, where it actually ended up going, right? And so if you run into stuff like this where these sort of things definitely can and do happen, you might have a better approach to it than I did and get to the solution a little bit quicker. But in all honesty, it's a tedious process in some cases. These can be some of the most difficult things to diagnose, parasitic draws, especially if they're intermittent. But this one was only slightly intermittent, consistent enough where we could definitely find it. But anyways, this is a 2014 Cadillac CTS. It has a parasitic draw, of course, like we mentioned. And the car dies after about, or the battery dies about a day or two of sitting. This is at a used car lot. They've replaced the battery multiple times, actually, which is pretty normal at a used car lot that, you know, the vehicles sit. But this is actually a very well-run place, and they try to keep all of their vehicles fully charged, and they move them around the lot a lot. And they'll notice when something is discharging faster than normal, which was definitely the case with this one. And they actually have a shop there, and they do a fair amount of diagnostics all on their own. They do like body shop work too. It's a big outfit. But they had come to the conclusion that the body control module was what was causing the draw on this this Cadillac. And they weren't entirely wrong, but they replaced it with a new one, and they had us come out and program it. So we didn't do the initial diagnostic on this vehicle, but we did program a brand new body control module in order to correct the parasitic draw. Well, turns out that didn't fix it. The problem remained exactly the same with the new from GM body control module. And that's important to note too, right? We're not just tossing a used one in here. We got a brand new one. And doesn't mean the new can't be bad, but new having the exact same problem, it's unlikely. So anyways, this is where we're going to get involved in the diagnostic sense of things of, you know, hey, there is a draw on here. We think it's the BCM. And we don't want, our process to be led, by that. But we do know there's a new one in there, so shouldn't be causing it. But let's start fresh and see where we're going with this. The first thing that I really want to look at with all of these parasitic draws on these modern vehicles, like I've mentioned before, is a pre-scan. And obviously, we've got to set up our vehicle in order for us to do the proper draw testing. In order to actually assess how much current's leaving the battery and if there's excessive current leaving the battery, there's a whole process to the setup. But before I do any of that, I want to pre-scan the vehicle, full vehicle scan, and get a picture of any code that's set in any module that could pertain to a draw. And sometimes that's not, abundantly obvious, but I'm looking for things like switch circuit codes or communication codes, or maybe even modules that don't communicate that should. Any of that might tip me off as something like, hey, I need to look at this. And generally, in a vehicle that is experiencing a parasitic draw, you're going to have a lot of voltage codes. So, be prepared for that. I document pre-scan on every vehicle I do, but I think it's really important on these to actually go through the codes and look at it and say, hey, that might be something that I should pursue. And it might skip you ahead past all this other junk. Well, I shouldn't say junk, but it was tedious. If I could skip ahead past the tedious part, that would be awesome. And sometimes a code can do that for you. It gets you to the end a little quicker because a module is saying, hey, there's something wrong with this circuit. And that circuit is what happens to be keeping a module awake, potentially. Anyways, there is a YouTube video for this if you want to follow along. I've got some scope capture, some diagrams, and right now I have the pre-scan up on my screen. I'm not going to read all the codes to you. There's a lot of low voltage codes across a bunch of modules in this thing. There are a few circuit codes in here, something to do with the cruise control switch, the dimmer switch, and a couple other ones with the amplifier. Signal circuit, short to ground. And I'm going to keep an eye on those. Now, just about everything is history. That is one thing to note. So we'll document this, save it as a PDF, and I'm going to clear everything. And there was nothing that came back as a hard fault. I cycled the ignition a few times, didn't see anything pop back up. Okay. Doesn't mean that one of those won't come back, but at the moment I don't have anything. And at this point I have what codes were stored. So I'm going to prepare the vehicle now to actually go to sleep so that I can assess, because I don't even know how much draw there is or if there is for sure a draw right now. So what I do for that, open all the doors, open the trunk, open the hood, close all the latches, right? Close the hood latch, close the door latches, close the trunk latch so that the vehicle, whatever module's in control monitoring those circuits, thinks all the doors, the trunk, and the hood are closed, but that I can physically access any component that I need to in the vehicle without waking anything up or disturbing the vehicle. Okay. So we'll do that. And I'm going to place an amp clamp around the, in this case, I picked the negative cable of the battery. You can do the positive, doesn't matter. Just go to the battery. And our first goal is to figure out exactly how much current's leaving the battery. Step one, right? And so it was about a half an amp. It did eventually drop down to just under 400 milliamps, and that's kind of where it sat. And I waited about 10 minutes or so, and I expected to see that drop at least a little bit over the course of 10 minutes, and it didn't. And I'm going to wait longer because some vehicles do take longer, and you got to be aware. Sometimes your wait period can be quite a bit. Now, that all depends on what is the size of the draw, right? If it's 2 amps, you don't have to wait the full 40 minutes that you might have to if it's a quarter of an amp, right? Now, here I have almost a half an amp, just about 400 milliamps. And I don't know exactly when on this vehicle that should drop. I should say Sean right now knows how long that will take, but in the moment working on that Cadillac, I didn't know for sure how long that takes that Cadillac CTS to fully go to sleep. But after about 10 minutes, I would expect something to happen. Now I'm going to wait a little bit longer. And while I'm doing this, while I'm waiting for the vehicle to go to sleep, this is a time where I can do a few different things, but all equally important. Number one, you can look for service bulletins and known problems. The thing that I find is parasitic draws and looking for known problems, like if you're searching Identifix or stuff like that, it is, you get a little bit of everything, right? Because so many different things can cause a draw. And so many things have caused a draw. For whatever reason, you see the radio is like the top hit for like every vehicle ever that's had a parasitic draw. But then there's a list of 20 different things that people have found as draws. And I guess I seem to find that as well is, yeah, there's pattern failures. For sure, there's pattern failures with this. But a lot of these draws end up being one-offs. Like, I don't see that same draw on that same vehicle again. Again, not to say there isn't pattern failures out there, because I know there is. But so many different things can cause a draw that it's kind of random, which makes our diagnostic process and the way that we approach these even more important, because even if we wanted to, we can't really rely on pattern failures that often on draws. But I'm gonna look at that anyways and just see, hey, is there anything super common that I might want to look at first, right? I'm still gonna do my testing, but maybe I can zero in on the radio or whatever first. I didn't really see anything. I did see the radio at the top of the list, but I didn't see anything that really stood out to me as like, hey, I need to go look at this thing specifically because it's really common on a 14 CTS. Okay, that's fine. The other thing I'm going to do while I'm waiting for this thing to go to sleep is an audible and a visual inspection inside of the vehicle. And you really want to do this. And again, it depends on the size of the draw, right? Especially for like an audible. Like if you hear something doing work, moving, you're going to have, you know, an amp or more of current most likely. And so something that's audible, and that's going to make it easy to find, but a visual as well. And I'm not just talking about the dome lights. I'm talking about anything electronic. And we got a lot of LEDs on vehicles nowadays. Anything that's on that shouldn't be on after a certain period of time. And I actually saw something on this vehicle. So if you can imagine the center stack, the infotainment center in the center of the dash there, it's the Cadillac Q style. It's got the big screen and the weird touch panel that always has issues because it doesn't actually have buttons. It just like vibrates when you touch the volume button, and they have a ton of problems with that setup. But anyways, on the sides of it, there are buttons on both the right and the left side of the screen. And one of them is a hazard on the left side. And then on the other side is glove box and the parking assistant button. So you press those buttons for stuff to happen. Now, those have LED backlighting. And for those switches only, those three switches, the hazard, the glove box, the parking assist, they're lit up and they don't go out. Or I should say they're lit almost all of the time. I sat there and watched them for a little while because, again, I'm just waiting to see, hey, does this draw ever drop below the 400 milliamps? And I would see the lights flicker every once in a while, but they would like kind of go off and then they come back on. And I probably waited 20, 25 minutes on this one just to see, you know, would it eventually go to sleep, and it didn't. And I saw it flicker every once in a while. It wasn't consistent, but here and there, you'd see the lights just flash a little bit and then come back on. And this is now like my key indicator of like, hey, okay, this vehicle's awake somehow or another. And my draw never dropped below 400 milliamps. The last thing I'm going to do now, because I have a little something to go on, or at least I think I do. If these things shut off eventually, well, I guess I can't go with these lights, but these lights could definitely be an indicator to me of what is on or awake, because something has to light up those lights. What is that? I'm going to look that up while I'm doing my final wait to see if this thing actually goes to sleep. And looking at a wiring diagram, which actually wasn't the easiest thing to find, you could find the switch portion of these, like when you press the glove box, it actually, you know, sends a signal to the body control module. Finding the lighting circuit actually wasn't that easy, but I did. And it's also the body control module. And that's the case for all three of these switches, which isn't surprising, but we want to know for sure what is providing lighting to these switches. And it is the body control module, which was just replaced, but it's what's in charge of lighting these lights up. Now, does that mean the body control module is our problem? No, not necessarily. But does it mean that the body control module is awake and not going to sleep potentially? Now, is that a cause or is that a symptom, right? We haven't really figured anything out yet, but let's say the body control module is awake. It's not going to sleep the way we would expect it to. It's keeping these lights on, which is just an indicator to us. It's not, those LEDs aren't the draw, but it's an indicator that the body control module has not gone to sleep, right? Is that the cause, the body control module being awake, the only cause of the draw, or is it a symptom of something else keeping it awake? And we don't know that yet, but that's my mindset right now. And it is, of course, helpful that the body control module has been replaced. I think it's helpful for me that a brand new GM one is in there and it did the same thing as the old one. Because although I'm moving towards the BCM at this point, I can kind of already say in my head, well, I don't think it's the BCM itself that's causing this issue. Whereas had I just jumped into this fresh, nothing had been replaced, well, now I have to consider that the BCM could be. And we don't want to rule out bad new parts. It's just very, very, very unlikely that it would be the exact same problem between two modules. Possible, for sure. Stranger things have happened. And, you know, even when it like comes to cloning, I've cloned problems into a module and had my same issue. We did factory GM programming on this one. But anyways, here's what I'm going to do. I need to find out if the BCM being awake is the cause or is it a symptom? And the first thing I'm going to do to check that is there a network awake? Is the body control module the only thing that's awake? Now, the size of my draw definitely clues me in a little bit to maybe what I'm going to find because it's only 400 milliamps. And this Cadillac's fully loaded, has a lot of modules on the vehicle. And where my head's kind of going is a whole network awake and the BCM just happens to be the one thing that I have a visual indicator of. But my draw level actually doesn't indicate that. When I see a full network awake, and this can vary quite a bit depending on the amount of modules on a particular network, but when I see a full network awake, we're up in the range of like 1, 2, 3 amps of current because you have a bunch of different modules all drawing a small amount. I only have 400 milliamps here. So is it possible that just one module awake? Potentially. But still, what I'm going to do is check the network. And one of the other reasons I'm going to do this is because it's very easy to do because I can just go right to the DLC on this car, meaning that I have, well, there's three main networks on this vehicle. There's other sub-LIN buses to various components. And I think there can be another CAN bus. But anyways, I have main networks at the DLC. And this is an easy check. That's why I'm doing it. That's why I'm going to just see, hey, is there any network activity from this vehicle after half an hour of sitting? Because there shouldn't be. Everybody should be done talking by that point. And if I see something, well, maybe that's going to clue me into the next direction to go. And so what I do is I checked the two different CAN networks, which is 6 and 14 for the powertrain. And then I think it's 12. I think it's 12 and 13. I could be wrong on that number, but there's a chassis expansion bus. There was no activity on that. There was no activity on the CAN. Pin 1, however, is the low speed GM LAN. And the low speed GM LAN actually does have activity on it. It's pin 1, right at the DLC. I don't have to go far. So again, easy, easy, easy test. It's a repeating message though. And I'm just using my U-scope, but I can see clear as day that whatever message is being sent out on this bus is the exact same message over and over and over and over and over again. And what will happen is it will stop after about 10 seconds and it'll wait about 10 seconds and then it'll do it again for 10 seconds. And this is repeatable and it happens over and over and over again. I just have my U-scope on there. I'm looking at the data that's being output onto that network, which shouldn't be there. And it just keeps spitting out the same message. So it looks like a single module putting out a message onto this network, which kind of makes sense because the draw that I have could be from one single module. Not, it doesn't appear to be a whole network of modules awake, but I do have activity on a bus. Okay. I did also notice that when the lights on the dash, I said they'd flicker, they would do that with this network activity. So sometimes the break between messages, because it would pause for about 10 seconds here and there, sometimes that break was just a little bit longer and you would actually see those lights go out. And then as soon as the network activity kicked back in, the lights would come back on. So these things are related to each other for sure. What is this? I don't know. Maybe something aftermarket. That's what I'm thinking immediately. I'm like, there is an aftermarket device who is talking on this bus that's been tied into the low-speed GM LAN, like a remote start or anti-theft or who knows, a GPS tracker. I've seen all that stuff. It's talking on the network, and that's causing the BCM to wake up and turn those lights on. That's what I'm thinking. Okay. So now I just have to determine, okay, where is this message coming from? That's my next goal, is who is talking on this bus here? Again, looks like one module. I can't tell who's saying what. I did look at it with the Pico, which I have a scope capture up on the YouTube video if you want to check that out. It gives a little bit more detail and a little bit more clarity of this is the same message over and over and over again. It never changes, right? I don't know what it says, but if you were to translate the bits, the voltage pulses into bits, it would be the same message over and over again. I was playing around with the Linbus decoder in Pico just for fun when I was making the PowerPoint. And I don't think, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think it works with GM LAN, but correct me if I'm wrong there. I know it's similar to a Linbus, but it's not really a Linbus. I'm just learning with the decoder right now. If somebody has a way to decode the GM LAN low speed, let me know. I'd be interested to know. But anyways, single module talking. BCM definitely appears to be on based on what I'm seeing. Seems to be reacting to this, but maybe it's on as a consequence. How do we figure this out? How do we narrow down where that's coming from? So GM, as I'm sure many of you've seen, there's been lots of videos out there. I've talked about it. You know, we've had single wire network stuff on GM and communication issues along with that for decades now. And GM offers splice packs, like a lot of manufacturers do. But GM had splice packs for their single wire networks for a long time. And these are great places to divide up the network and perform some testing. And just so happens that there's two splice packs on this one, but one is right under the hush panel, right near the DLC. So I don't have to go very far. Just pull a couple screws down, pull the panel down. I've got a little connector there that's taped to a harness, and it's got a bunch of green wires going to it, which are all the GM LAN. Now, they're lettered, so you know which leg of the circuit they are. But what I'm going to do here is separate the comb from this network and then look at my network activity on each leg, or I could add one leg at a time, but I'm just going to look to see which leg of the network has the activity. Okay. Now I mentioned there are two splice packs in this vehicle. The JX200 is up where I am at the DLC. And then the JX300 is the rear splice pack. It's like behind the rear seat. I didn't actually access that. But what I found was it was pin A on JX200 that actually had the network activity that had this repeating message on it. And that goes to the rear splice pack. Now I can access the rear splice pack. I can do that, but I'm looking at my diagram of the GM LAN and I see that my body control module is on the leg that connects to the BCM goes to the rear splice pack. Okay. And I'm looking at the diagram already because I was doing my separation of the comb and I'm also lazy. And so the BCM where I am in like actual proximity of the vehicle is right in front of my face. Okay. So imagine where I'm at. I'm left front driver's like floor under the steering column near the DLC. That's where I'm testing. I've got the panel out. My body control module is right in front of my face. It's literally right next to this splice pack. Okay. So I can do two things here. And again, I'm trying to share mindset. I like to do that, or I'm trying to do that my best, is to give you the best idea of what I'm thinking about in the moment. Because I can sit here after the fact and say, oh, it was this, and you know, you do this, and this is the best way to do it, and that's great. I want to share what I'm thinking in the moment, you know, because sometimes I don't make the right decision. Sometimes I waste time. Sometimes I screw stuff up, make a bad call. What was I thinking in that moment? I mean, it's good for me to look back on that, reflect on that, think about that so that I don't make as many mistakes in the future. But also for anybody listening that's going through this, I want to share that with you too, so you understand why am I making the decisions that I make, right? And again, ask yourself that during the day doing diagnostics, whether you make the right call, the wrong call, like why am I doing the things that I'm doing in the order that I'm doing them, in the way that I'm doing them? And this one here, again, I can go to the rear splice pack, pull that comb, start testing those legs, but I know my BCM's awake. I know for sure my BCM's awake, and my BCM is on that leg of the, or the BCM's leg of the network is connected to the rear splice pack. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to try it. I'm going to look at the connector that the network wire goes to on the BCM, and I'm just going to unplug that single connector from the BCM, and I'm going to watch my network and see, does that get rid of the activity, right? And it says X7, and I look, there's seven connectors. I'm like, okay, well, it's one of the ones on the end. I find the one, I unplug it at the splice pack. Now I have no network activity, so I've killed it by unplugging one connector on the BCM. Okay. And then again, this was X7. You can see a picture of it. It's a gray connector on the very end of the BCM of the seven connectors. Now, this kills the traffic. Now, I want to be careful here because I unplugged the whole connector. There's more than one circuit on it. It's not just the data line. But this is important to note. My dash lights, I shouldn't say dash lights, my glove box, my parking assist, and my hazard backlights are still on. And I waited for a while to see would anything change, and nothing changed. They stay on. They actually flickered once, and then they came back on. And this is with the data line all disconnected from the BCM. Now, the network traffic, and I plugged the front JX200 comb back in. So like the whole rest of the vehicle network is connected. And I looked, and there's no more network activity, but those lights are still on the dash. So now I'm really dialing into my body control module, and my draw is still there. If I go back and I look at my amp clamp, my draw hasn't changed here either. Now, even though there is network activity, it's only one module, but I'm beginning to assume that that one module is the body control module itself. And for whatever reason, nobody else is responding. Now, who knows why? Maybe that message isn't meant for anybody once they're in a sleep state. Maybe it's nonsense. It's hard to say because we don't know what the message says, but no one on the GM land seems to be responding to it. It seems to be just coming from the body control module. But again, my lights are on the dash with that separated. So I need to keep going towards my body control module. It appears that it's staying awake. But before I go any further here, I'm going to actually wake the vehicle back up. Now that I think that, hey, the BCM is really the source of what's happening here, before I really dive deep into circuitry, I need to double check to make sure, hey, are there any codes in this thing? And I realize I unplugged a connector. I'll plug that back in before I turn the key on. Are there any codes in the body control module that maybe I've reset, or maybe that I overlooked the significance of, that could be causing this? Also, I'm going to look through the data PIDs and see, is there anything in the data PIDs that might correlate with the lights being on or network activity here? And there are a ton of data PIDs. That's the one really tedious part about this job is the body control module, like a lot of body control modules, is connected to so many circuits on the vehicle, so many different circuits, so many inputs, so many switches, LIN buses, all kinds of stuff. And so it has a ton of data pins to go along with that. And there's probably, boy, there's over 12, maybe 14 different divisions of data stream when you go into the data stream for the body control module. And I went through and scanned it and tried to see, is there anything that correlates to when the network comes awake? Now, I shouldn't even say network. When the BCM talks on the network, is there anything correlating with that timing? Because there was, like I said, about 10-second intervals of it not doing anything, and then it does something. I couldn't find anything, at least not anything obvious. Nothing stood out to me as going along with it. Okay. And I don't see any codes either. I mentioned there was a cruise control circuit code. That didn't reset. I didn't have that. I looked specifically at like the cruise switch inputs. Nothing, you know, nothing changed. There wasn't a change of state that would cause this to activate. Hey, have you ever been faced with the challenge of sourcing, installing, and programming a used control module in a vehicle? I know a lot of us have. It seems to be happening more and more often today with the volume of control modules on vehicles, the cost of some new ones, or even the availability of new control modules. In some cases, used may be the only option. So what do you do here? I strongly recommend checking out SJ Auto Solutions and Tommy Oliva. Tommy offers a cloning service for used control modules to make these things plug and play for the vehicle that you're working on. In a lot of cases, he is also able to source the control modules if you're unable to locate one for the vehicle that you're working on. But once you get connected with Tommy, he's going to offer fantastic support from start to finish to make sure that that control module is going to work in your application. He's also got tech support that he offers through his website, along with some free resources there as well on information about used control module programming. So make sure to check out SJ Auto Solutions. I can't recommend that enough. One thing I did notice here, though, and this actually made things a little bit more tricky as far as what I wanted to do as far as the diagnostic. When I talked to the body control module with the scan tool and I pulled up data stream, The traffic, the network message on the GM low speed stopped. It stopped outputting that message when I would communicate to it with a scan tool. And this was actually when the vehicle was in the off state. So first when I did it, I turned the vehicle on. I'm looking for, you know, data PIDs that don't make sense. And then I turned the vehicle off and I did the same thing, right? Because that's when the problem is when the vehicle is in the off position. And you can still talk to the body control module in this vehicle and a lot of vehicles, even like if you don't even have a key in the vehicle, which I did. I took the key out and I'm talking to the BCM and I'm looking at these data PIDs to see, you know, what's on when the vehicle's off. The network message that it was sending out stopped as long as I was talking to it with the scan tool. Now, I'm assuming this put it into like one more level of being awake as compared to not talking to it. But I know it was my scan tool talking on the CAN bus because there was no traffic on the low speed while this was happening, nothing. It stopped. And then you unplug the scan tool, give it a few seconds, and then it starts shooting out that single message again. So just interesting. It didn't really get me anywhere. Although, you know, still everything pointing towards this body control module as being the source, but I don't have any more direction as far as what I can do. Now, taking a look at a wiring diagram of the BCM, again, is kind of overwhelming. And I need some way of maybe narrowing it down or getting an idea of like, what do I look at first? Because there's so many different things. There's like five or six different LIN buses that are, you know, independent, or I shouldn't say independent, they're just between the body control module and the, whatever other components they're going to, like different door switches and things like that. And I would have to check those individually at the BCM with a scope to see maybe something's acting up on a LIN bus, which is then causing the BCM to wake up, right? Or same thing with a switch circuit, right? A switch circuit is switching when it's not supposed to, when the vehicle's off, and that's causing the BCM to wake up. But there's a ton of these, right? There's 7 different connectors and all of them have a ton of circuits. Is there any possible way that I can narrow this down more? And I decided I was going to try something, and I didn't know if this was going to work, and it might not get me anywhere. But again, my mindset is here, like, how can I be as efficient about this as possible, or at least narrow it down a little bit? I'm going to use the network traffic or network message, and specifically the lights on the dash, as my guide to, is the BCM awake? And I'm going to start unplugging connectors one at a time from the BCM. Okay. Now, this is a little tricky because, of course, if I pull a connector that has power and ground to it, well, yeah, sure. Then the BCM is going to shut off, right? It can't function. And looking at the diagram, I found that 1, 2, and 4 of the 7 connectors have powers and or grounds to them. So I'm going to avoid those at first, right? I want to keep all of the powers and ground feeds to the BCM intact. And I'm going to play around with the other connectors. If for only other purpose that I could eliminate all of the circuits on these like 26 pin connectors, they're all 26 pins. If I can eliminate 26 different circuits that I have to check, if I unplug a connector and my problem remains, I can say, well, it's not that connector. It's none of those circuits without actually checking any of them. Now, this is a little dangerous, right? Because there's so much involved with the circuitry. You know, what are we affecting when we pull that many circuits out? Or could pulling that many circuits out awake the BCM to, another state? I don't know that. But again, this is kind of a low cost test method. And I just want to see what happens to see if it can narrow things down for me. If this doesn't work, I'm going to have to go circuit by circuit or come up with a better plan to narrow things down, like maybe go after the LIN buses and the switches first. But I'm going to try this. And I did. Now, I mentioned 1, 2, and 4 have powers and ground, so I avoid those. 7 has the data line on it. And not that I'm necessarily going to avoid that. I just have noted that my data line is on number 7. So unplugging connector 3, 5, 6, and 7, I can take all of those out and it doesn't change my issue, meaning that the draw is still present and my dash lights are still on. And again, they flicker every once in a while. Now, what's cool there is I eliminated 4 of the 7 connectors and all of the circuits that are on them. I don't even have to look at those. I don't care what they are. Doesn't matter to me. As far as I'm concerned, it is on either 1, 2, or 4 that is causing my issue to keep the BCM awake. Unless I find out that the BCM is the problem, it could be, but I have to check all of these circuits because the likelihood of that BCM being failed in the same way is, it's not likely. So 3 connectors, 1, 2, and 4. Now, when I unplug any one of those 3, it does kill the lights and the draw. But again, powers and grounds to this module. So that's where it gets tricky. Yeah, I could also be disconnecting the circuit that's causing it to stay awake, but I'm also disconnecting the circuits that provide power so it can function, right? And so I have to do something to narrow this down a little bit more. So what I do is I'm going to take this connector by connector, and this is the tedious part. It really is the tedious part. I'm going to connect power and ground to the pins that those connectors normally would provide. All right, so I started with connector 4, and I got lucky here. It's usually not the way it works. It's usually the very last one that I try is the one that I want. But I tried connector number 4 first, and there is a power and there's a ground that are going to that connector, providing power and ground to the module. At all times, hot at all times, and obviously ground at all times. And so I take my jumper kit, and this is the tedious part. This is not fun. This is time consuming. I'm going through this with you in you know, under 45 minutes. This was two visits actually to this vehicle because I ran out of time on the first day. But this is several hours of work on this vehicle. So I don't mean to make this sound like I blasted through this. It was tedious, but I didn't know another way to get to the source of this draw, where I was at in the moment. But anyways, I'm connecting my power and ground using some jumper wires. The rest of X4, connector 4, is disconnected. It's hanging there, right? And I just jump power and ground. Now, the module goes to sleep at this point. At first, I was like, am I sure I have these powers and grounds on the or the power and ground on the right pins? And I did. And the module went to sleep. I just verified, plug X4 back in. Module wakes up, will not go to sleep, right? And I'm using the battery draw and the dash lights as my guide here of whether the BCM is awake or not. But if I remove all the other circuits besides the power and ground, it goes to sleep. Okay. So potentially I've narrowed this down from, you know, 7 different connectors with 26 pins. Now I'm down to 26 and actually only 21 circuits because the power and the ground, and then there's 3 unused pins on that connector. So I've got 21 circuits. So this actually makes this a more manageable thing for me to find. I can sift through 20 circuits, 21 circuits without, you know, too much work. Trying to go through all 7 different connectors, that's a ton of work. And I can pull up just what's on X4. You see it on the YouTube video if you're watching it. And I can look to see specifically, hey, are there any switch circuits or LIN buses on this connector? And there were some what's called signal wires on this. And I'm really going to zero into there. Like the top half of the connector is all supply voltage, meaning voltage coming out of the BCM. And I don't want to discount those circuits, but I'm going to really focus in on anything that's feeding into the BCM as an input, because that's something that could wake it up. And I've got things like the current sensor signal, a feedback signal from the exterior lights, accessory wake-up serial data, supposed to come from the BCM and the communications enable, and there's another feedback circuit. But those are the ones I'm going to look at real specifically. But it's easy enough with this now. I take my scope and I do this open circuit. So X4 is unplugged, and I go with my scope along all of the pins on X4, and I'm just looking for, is there voltage that's switching on and off? And I didn't see anything. I saw power on the power feed. Otherwise, there really wasn't anything on any of the circuits. And I've got my scope reference to ground using the colored lead. I don't see anything on any of those circuits. But that doesn't mean that there's nothing going on there. I need to connect this to my BCM and check it that way. And this makes it more difficult because now I've got a back probe. But again, I'm going to focus in on the sensor signal and the feedback circuits first, and then I'll go to the other circuits. If I don't see anything there, I can go to all the power supply. There's 14 different circuits that all say voltage supply coming out of the BCM. I'm not going to start with those. I'm going to start with the ones that say signal and see if there's anything switching on there. Okay. And that's 6 different circuits that I'm going to, or 7 different circuits that I'm going to start with. I can back probe 7 circuits and see what happens with my scope. Now, what I'm doing is, and this is really helpful where a 2-channel scope is, it's handy, is I got my X7 plugged back in. Actually, I have everything plugged into the BCM at this point, and I'm back probing on 7, but I have another channel of my scope on the data line so that I can have my laptop right there on the floor in the driver's floor there near the accelerator. And I can watch when there's activity there, when the BCM is actually shooting out a message. And I can correlate that with these other circuits to see, is there a timing where something happens on one of these circuits and then the BCM talks? Because that's, if I find the problem, if I find the circuit that is switching and doing something, I should see a slight delay. It's going to be very small, but the scope shows it to me as a certain period of time before that message starts, because I mentioned that repeating message will pause for about 10 seconds and then it'll come on for 10 seconds. And so I'm just looking for, hey, something happens here, then it starts talking. And two channel scope is perfect for that because you can just do it on one screen, two channels, same time base. Okay, so I do this, seven circuits. I end up finding pin 19 is a perfect correlation. So pin 19 starts at battery voltage and it drops down to a ground. And as soon as it drops down to the ground, it's very brief when it pulls down to a ground, you see the data line wake up and start talking, which is the BCM spitting out that same repeating message. And it's a very, very brief period of time, but it's a perfect correlation to when that thing pulls down the ground, the BCM starts talking. So I need to figure out what is on the circuit. It says feedback signal in the diagram. It says exterior light system. So I have to go to a different diagram to figure out exactly what this is coming from. But it's pin 19, a white yellow wire. So I go to my lighting diagram and I see that this goes to the right lower headlamp assembly, or it's also called the multifunction LED output module right headlamp. Okay, so what is that? If you look at the front of the Cadillac, and not all of them had this, some of them had the different style, but this would kind of be where the fog light is, but it's a long LED strip that is lower than the actual headlight, right? It's like a teardrop coming out of the actual headlight, and it's an LED, and it's an LED module or driver inside of there. And if you look at the factory diagram, you can see this white yellow wire that goes from the BCM out to this headlamp assembly, or they call it a headlamp LED control module. And inside of the LED control module, you can see there's a switch, which is probably a transistor in that driver that toggles to ground. And then in the body control module, you can see that, oh, okay, it's a monitoring circuit that provides a voltage reference. And I mentioned there's when the connector's plugged in, the BCM's connected, there's 12 volts there. Even when the car's off, it still has 12 volts there. Why they do that, I don't know, but they do. And so it has constant voltage on that circuit. And then this thing can potentially pull it to ground whenever it wants. It's not supposed to when the car is off, because the BCM also provides the voltage supply for this controller to actually work. Now you look, there's another circuit and it provides voltage for this thing to actually like turn on and operate. And that circuit's not active. The BCM has shut that down. But on this feedback signal, the LED controller has the ability to pulse it to ground. Now, it's a feedback for what exactly? I tried to look this up in service info and it really is not clear. I don't know if this is, I think it's a turn signal in this assembly. And if it's feedback for when the turn signal's operating or maybe when there's a bulb outage, I'm really not sure, to be totally honest, but it is a feedback for the BCM for this LED driver for some purpose. And it toggles to ground. And it's not supposed to when the car's off, but it is on this one. And it just keeps toggling to ground. Now, I didn't see it in my open circuit check because I had my scope referenced to ground. Had I had my scope referenced to power, I would have seen that on pin 19 pulling to ground. But I had to have it back probed in order to see the voltage that the BCM output and then the switch pull it down. Okay, now, I guess I skipped ahead a little bit here because I hadn't actually gone to this light here, but is it a light or is it something else on the circuit? It's probably in this light assembly, but I'm going to unplug it to find out, right? So I unplug this light. You got to pull the inner fender back. You can reach in. I unplug it. That switch stops getting pulled to ground and the BCM actually goes to sleep after about a minute and a half. It doesn't take very long. And then my draw drops down to under 60 milliamps. That happened very quickly after I unplugged that light. Right. And I said it was about 10 seconds of interval. You give it 30 seconds and it starts to shut down. It turns the lights off on the dash. It did not take very long. So these things should go to sleep fairly quickly once this stops happening. Right. I have a picture of this LED assembly out. You can see it's just a lens and it's got a module, a driver on the backside of it. and it just needs to be replaced. So I told him, I was like, I left it unplugged so it doesn't drain the battery. Everything's asleep now. Put all my stuff back together, replace it. You're done. That's it. Now, this was really tedious. It really was tough to find the exact circuit. And I double checked after the fact, like after I knew what it was, I went back into the scan tool. I'm like, is there a data pit that I was missing? I couldn't find one. I couldn't find anything relating to the feedback from the LED light module. There just didn't seem to be anything. Unless I could be missing something, that's possible, but I didn't see anything. There's, you know, no codes for it or anything like that. It just happens to be pulling that thing to ground every once in a while. And that was what was keeping it awake. So really, really interesting, but also tedious. And I guess that's one thing to keep in mind before we wrap this up is like, these things are not easy. Understand that going in, that it's going to be a lot of work, and charge appropriately. That's the big key here, right? I charge for my time because it takes a lot of time to do these. Sometimes I get lucky and sometimes I do these a little faster than others. And sometimes it takes me a long time, like on this vehicle, but that's why I'm sharing it with you. But it doesn't mean that we should be afraid of them. Like, we can work through it. We can figure out what's causing these draws and what's causing modules to stay awake, which seems to be like every draw nowadays. It just takes time and effort and understanding, right? And I can refine my process by looking at it this way. But when we're doing these things, like, charge appropriately for these. This is not the same thing as diagnosing a O2 sensor code or something like that. I mean, I say that, and tomorrow I'll have like the most challenging O2 sensor code ever. But these are their own class. It's its own tier of diagnostics, as far as I'm concerned. But there's lots of them out there, and it's only going to get worse with all the different modules and electronics on vehicles. So get good at this stuff and you make a lot of money. So that's all I got for you today. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. But with that out of the way, let's get out there, start fixing the world one car at a time.